Okay, so welcome back to the Up North podcast. As Sarah well knows, we try to match the music with the topic. And so we had the Dixie Chicks talking about how mad as hell they were. So while we introduce this segment, I'm going to have Sarah introduce our first guest. But I'm going to talk about the background of why we're doing this show. So in September, I mean, I'm just a random guy who makes beer, but like everybody in Wisconsin and everybody in America, we started reading about crazy things coming out of Texas, where not only were they restricting reproductive rights and abortions, but they were allowing random Texans to report their fellow citizens who were potentially giving reproductive health services to women in Texas. So it's like a vigilante justice situation. That was crazy. And then all of a sudden, the Supreme Court fast forwards that case to like the center of the docket, which tells us that's not very good, given the fact that Trump appointed three really conservative judges during his term. And now they're going to listen to this case. So that was not indicative of a positive outcome. And then in like October, we got Mississippi's, you know, all of a sudden is restricting abortions to 15 weeks, which is a lot less than the Roe v. Wade calls for, which is around 24 weeks or so, which we'll talk about later in more detail. So I was like, this is crazy stuff. Like, why is all this stuff happening all at once? And we got to do something. So I called up Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin, and I was like, I want to help you guys because you guys are on the forefront. You know, you guys are fighting the battle in Wisconsin that needs to be fought right now. And so I met our guest, Tanya Atkinson, who is the president of Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin. And that's the kind of the background of this. That's how the background of this show happened, and the background of this beverage that I launched today. So Sarah, do better than me, and let's give the bona fides of our esteemed guest here.
Sure. Tanya, thank you for joining us. We're just so blessed to have you with us. Tanya Atkinson is the president of Planned Parenthood Advocates of Wisconsin, PPAWI. Tanya began her career with Planned Parenthood as a community organizer and manager back in 2004, subsequently serving as the organization's field director, vice president of public affairs and education, vice president of external affairs, and chief external affairs officer. Prior to joining Planned Parenthood, Tanya was the director of the Milwaukee office of the Wisconsin Council on Children and Families, a statewide child advocacy organization, legislative aide in the Wisconsin legislature, and social worker specializing in youth services. She served for over 10 years as an adjunct professor at both Carroll University and the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. And check this out. She was even a professional touring comedian for about 10 years. I think you'd have to have a sense of humor to get through this real heavy work. But welcome to the show, Tanya. Thank you for joining us.
Oh, great. Thank you so much, Sarah, Kirk. Really, really happy to be here. And nice to meet you as well. Excited to hear from the doctor about the impact of all these bills that and court cases that Kirk had laid out. And happy birthday, Kirk, also, and just really grateful that you are taking action on this issue and really lifting it up.
Great. Thanks so much. Now, usually we have two guests in two separate segments, but because this whole show tonight is about reproductive health, I wanted to introduce our second guest right away, even though Tanya is going to be doing most of the heavy lifting talking about public policy in this first segment. So my friend here is Dr. Morgan Mandigo, and I'm going to read this because it's so, she's so esteemed that I don't want to screw up any of it. So, oh my gosh. Dr. Morgan Mandigo is a practicing obstetrician gynecologist in Maine. She's a graduate of Harvard, Oxford, University of Miami, and completed her residency training at Johns Hopkins. She has dedicated her career to reducing healthcare inequities and improving access to women's reproductive services. While in Miami, Dr. Mandigo directed a clinic that provided free gynecologic services to women experiencing homelessness and domestic violence. She also lived abroad in Haiti, Uganda, and Malawi, where she developed novel programs to help women access healthcare and served as medical school faculty in obstetrics and gynecology. Dr. Mandigo has provided both medical and surgical pregnancy termination services to women in Miami and Baltimore. She's a member of the National Abortion Federation and Physicians for Reproductive Health. Welcome to the show, Dr. Mandigo.
Thanks, Kirk. Happy birthday.
Thank you. All right. So feel free, doctor, to chime in whenever you'd like. But I want to hand the floor to Tanya, because I kind of gave a brief introduction to this stuff. But I want our listeners, we've got listeners in southern Wisconsin, in Madison, all the way to Milwaukee, and then on the AM station, it beams up to Green Bay. And then we're going to beam this whole thing up to northern Wisconsin. So all of Wisconsin is going to hear about it. And I want you to lay the groundwork of why now all these things are happening. And can you talk to us about Texas, Mississippi, the Supreme Court, and then how all of this winds up to potentially hurt Wisconsin?
Yes, thank you. And I'm going to really excited that it's going across Wisconsin. As somebody who's born and raised here, really excited that across the state going to hear about this. I'm going to try to not take up too much time, because what's at the heart of this are women who need access to healthcare. And so I really want to make sure that Dr. Mandigo has a lot of time to talk about people, because that's really what's at the heart of all of this. And that's who's going to be impacted in everything that's going on and all the things that you laid out. So I'm going to, you talked about Texas really eloquently, and I don't know if I'd add any more to that. I'll start with the Supreme Court and Mississippi. So there is a case in front of the Supreme Court, and this case is a case that directly challenges Roe v. Wade. So depending on how the court rules, we are at a point in history where Roe v. Wade could be overturned and no longer be precedent. Abortion may no longer be a right for people across the country, and that would then be returned to the states. So we're talking about, you know, almost 50 years. This was just the 49th anniversary of Roe v. Wade. So almost 50 years of precedent. The Supreme Court is poised to overturn that. And what's also important in this is that Wisconsin has a 172-year-old law on the books that bans abortion. So if Roe is overturned, abortion could immediately become a crime in the state of Wisconsin. And the ban that's on our books is, if it's even possible, worse than the ban in Texas. There are no exceptions for rape. There are no exceptions for incest. There's no exceptions for the health of the mother. So that is what we are facing in Wisconsin if Roe v. Wade is overturned at the Supreme Court.
Okay, I gotcha. So there's this law is from the 1800s. How in the heck do we have a law from like 100 years ago that's still on the books that bans abortion? What happened after Roe v. Wade? I mean, why didn't we get rid of that law? Why is this still on the books when we're 100 years later?
Well, there certainly have been many, 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 many attempts over the years to get the law removed from the books. And they have been, you know, the legislatures, you know, historically, and certainly the legislature that we have today, have not repealed that law. And it's not being enforced specifically because of Roe. And so with the law not being enforced and legislatures being unwilling to move that legislation, that is why we still have the law on the books. And knowing that this is, we are on the precipice. It is not rhetoric to say that the Supreme Court could overturn Roe v. Wade. We have an opportunity to repeal that law. Every single day there's been a bill that's been introduced, and it's not moving at all in our legislature. And every single day that goes by that our legislature does not pass this legislation, does not repeal this archaic law, is a day that they are making a choice to keep abortion illegal in Wisconsin. Every single day they don't pass this law is a day that they are making a decision about abortion access in the state of Wisconsin. Every day this law stays on the books is a day that our legislature is making a choice for the entire state of Wisconsin.
All right. So Dr. Mandigo doesn't know, she's from Maine, so she doesn't know Wisconsin law so well. So I want to dig into this before we go on to the next segment. I read, you guys gave me some great reading materials that I boned up on before this show. And I read that Wisconsin's already really kind of bottom of the barrel when it comes to obstacles that are placed in front of women trying to get reproductive health and abortions. Can you kind of run through, some of the stuff that's already kind of a little bit nuts in Wisconsin that make it really tough on women?
Yeah. Wisconsin does have some of the most restrictive abortion laws in the country, and it's a very long list. And these abortion restrictions are not medically indicated. They are not rooted in medicine. They are not rooted in healthcare. They are specifically there to add burden and barrier to people accessing abortion. And, you know, we look at Wisconsin, and I can name a number of them. You know, we have an ultrasound legislation that requires that our doctors turn the ultrasound screen toward the patient. And we do follow the letter of the law. And so we have patients that have had very anticipated pregnancies and have had ultrasound after ultrasound after ultrasound, hoping for different results. And then they get referred to Planned Parenthood Wisconsin because the pregnancy is not viable. And one more time, they're forced to have this ultrasound screen turned toward them. And whatever the reason, people are forced to have the ultrasound screen turned toward them. We have a 24-hour waiting period, which is usually much longer than 24 hours. And so, you know, we know the state of Wisconsin, it's a big state, and there's a lot of travel that's needed. Out of 72 counties in Wisconsin, only 3 have abortion care centers in the entire state. So we have people that are traveling from the most northern parts of Wisconsin. We've had people have to take Ubers and Lyft from northern Wisconsin all the way down to Madison or Milwaukee. And we also know that that these laws and in healthcare in general, there's a lot of health inequities. And I know that Dr. Mandigo knows that better than anyone, a lot of health inequities. And so if abortion, is banned in Wisconsin, communities of color in particular are going to have, that's going to have a more inequitable impact on communities of color. And when we look at, especially when we look at the outcomes that Black women are 3 times more likely to die as a result of largely preventable maternal health situations, that, you know, to not be able to access abortion as an option, all women could be forced to carry pregnancies against their will, even if they're contraindicated to their health.
So one of the things that really sits with me is that these statistics, this information is available. People know it, and it's overcoming the apathy, particularly with, you know, more affluent, white, married, conservative women who just don't care. And so for me, peeling back a layer, you criminalize abortion, you risk criminalizing miscarriage. So I'm an attorney. I do know cost legal representation for abuse survivors. So woman calls in the abuse. Now he wants to retaliate and says, oh, that miscarriage, she did that on purpose. Here's a few Google searches on the home computer. I've now just set her up. We've got an activist DA here in St. Croix County who has no problem raking domestic abuse survivors over the coals. And so, you know, it's the perfect storm for some really ugly segments. But Tanya, how do you reach these people who just look the other way and don't care?
What we're finding, so we know nationally that 80% of Americans want abortion to remain safe and legal. So it transcends, you know, political affiliation, because people understand that making abortion illegal doesn't make them go away. It makes them unsafe. And you are exactly right that this opens up a whole host of you know, challenges. What we find more than apathy is that people are not aware that we have an abortion ban on the books. So to have, you know, this opportunity tonight, and Kirk, for you to have created this beverage with this gorgeous, gorgeous label, that's going to start conversations. And that's really what we need to focus on, is because a lot of people, and I say that without any, you know, blame or judgment, people have a lot going on in their lives. And who would think that we're enforcing, you know, that there's this 172-year-old law in the books, you know, and when people do find out, they're incredulous and they are very motivated. So what is, you know, what is the focus right now is making sure that people have the information and that they're having the conversations, that they're aware of it, and that they're demanding that their state elected officials repeal the criminal abortion ban that's on the books.
Thank you for that ray of hope. That certainly gives us reason to be optimistic. When we come back, what will the United States look like if Roe v. Wade is overturned in America? We'll talk to Dr. Morgan Mendigo, whose work in the obstetrician and gynecologist in both Africa and inner city Baltimore, among other places, gives her a pretty good idea of what to expect. You're up north.